news, weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus, you won't know if you don't listen.
Okay, thank you so much for joining me. I am Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I am here live on iHub Radio every Sunday from 10 to noon, and I am actually here live in the studio today, March 22nd. I want to start out with a very personal note. Yesterday was my twins' birthday and my twins' twins' birthday. So let me explain that real fast. I had boy-girl twins, and then my daughter had boy-girl twins on her birthday. So they all have the same birthday. And yesterday, my youngest grandchildren turned 18, and among the things I sent them in my message to them on their birthday was, "And you can now register, and you better vote." This is how grandmas try and influence grandchildren from far away. And I've been staying in touch with my family, as I'm sure all of you have, and my good friends, just to make sure everybody is staying safe and being cautious. And today's show is going to be a little bit different than I usually do. You know, normally I'm downloading stuff all week long and reading stuff and listening to stuff and making notes, and I put it all in some kind of semi-flowing agenda for how I want to do the show. Today, that is not the case at all. I haven't done anything the same as I normally do for this show. And let's face it, none of us are doing things that we normally would be doing in our lives right now if we are being safe and if we are taking seriously whatever responsibility we may feel individually to the people we care about, the people around us. For example, you know, okay, I get it. There's nothing on the shelves of certain things that we all think we need and it would be nice to have. But did you remember when you went to the store to pick up those few items that you really needed, or some fresh food or some milk or whatever? Did you remember, as you checked out, to at least say thank you to the people behind the counter? These people are, in fact, putting their lives on the line, just like first responders are, by being willing to be there as we all make our way through the market. I will say I was impressed. I had to go to the pharmacy, and waiting in line, there were about six of us in line waiting to check out, and there were three people, you know, at the registers trying to process people as quickly as they could. But voluntarily, everybody in the line being very patient and standing several feet apart, voluntarily, just not standing right behind somebody else. So I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, one of the things I decided I would try and do for you today, because this is the way my week unfolded. And for many of you, you had a similar kind of week. Now, of course, it depends on whether you have been able to work, either at home or going into wherever you work. Whether you have children who are out of school and home and you're trying to figure out how to deal with all of that. Whether you are in a situation where, regardless of what they seem to be promising about payments to make up for what you may be losing in income, if you had any to begin with, things like health care and can you get a test if you think you need one? And not everybody should be getting a test just because they get a sniffle. And yet the fear of not knowing. All of that is what is going on for all of us in our week. And on top of that, I've been going through not only all the news on all channels and in all print media and online, but as I always do, I've been downloading key items and stories that I think are important or interesting or that I want to talk about. And so today, I'm going to take you through my week this past week, because it is how I have processed everything that is going on, and I will share it with you. So today I have a lot of news about the virus, but I also have some good news, some news that has nothing to do with the virus, some things you wouldn't know if you didn't listen to this show, because nobody's reporting much of anything beyond the virus. And I have some inspirational words that came to me in one way or another that made a difference in my life this week. And I love the fact that there are people who are sending around jokes, even jokes about the virus. And I posted up on Facebook, there's a guy named Randy Rainbow who does these incredible videos where he takes a song that we may recognize and changes all the lyrics and illustrates it with photos. And if you've never seen Randy Rainbow, I strongly recommend you go find him online. He's got tons of these parodies that he has done up on iTunes what do they call that video site? YouTube, that's it. And it's worth going to see. There's nothing wrong with giving yourself a little bit of a break to laugh. I've been watching old movies. That's always fun. But then I found this article that really did make a difference for me in terms of why it is so important to internalize, for each of us individually to internalize, that we individually make a difference. So there's this thing called the RO that scientists use to measure the impact of something like an illness. And the RO is how many people do you give it to if you get it? How many people do you give it to before you're either over it or you died? And you are then no longer infectious. And this formula that they call the RO is, or I think it's actually R0, but this is how many people are at risk if the RO is a particular number. And for the coronavirus, scientists are saying the RO number appears to be close to the number 3. So that means if you catch the virus, you will probably give it to 3 other people. And then they will each give it to 3 other people and so forth. Well, when you do the math, this is really incredible. If the RO is 3, if you get infected and you're going to give it to 3 people and each of them is then going to give it to 3 people, in just 15 steps of transmission, which could be 15 days, worst case, if you gave it to 3 people the first day. But in just 15 steps of that kind of mathematic progression, you would go from one person to over 14 million people who would by then have been infected. I mean, that's staggering. I read that and I thought, oh, wait a minute, that can't be right. But it is. If the RO is 3, and you give it to 3 people, and each of them gives it to 3 more, and each of them gives it to 3 more, in 15 steps, potentially 15 days, you would have gone from one case to 14 million other people. And the scientists who did this calculation said those 15 steps can happen within a matter of a few weeks. So you're not giving it to 3 people the first day, and they're not giving it to 3 people each the next day. but in 15 steps of transmission, which could take only a few weeks, 14 people will have been infected. Now, here's the good news. And it's hard to find good news in those statistics. But here's the good news. If you can keep the number below an RO of 1, in other words, if you get infected and you give it to only one other person, and that one person gives it only to one other person, etc., etc., the epidemic will die out. Literally. So, no small gatherings, no meetings, even between a couple of families, because, you know, they may live right down the street and your kids always play together or you socialize with the parents or whatever. But you don't know who else they have been in contact with. No small gatherings, no meetings. If you have kids, be careful about going anywhere like a park or a climbing gym. Don't go to restaurants or movie theaters, anything in an enclosed area. Even if they tell you that they are doing cleaning and hygiene and they're making sure that their place is completely disinfected, don't go. Cancel any vacations you had planned. I mean, really. Airlines and rental agencies, most of them are now offering penalty-free cancellations. A lot of the airlines are offering changes of your itinerary at no additional charge, which is one of the way they've been making so much money off of us, plus checking us for bags and charging us for seats. And now they want a big bailout with taxpayer money. I'm sorry they're hurting, but they've been ripping us off. Stay at home as much as possible. If you can work from home, do it. Yes, you may have to go out to get groceries or medicine, but make the trips quick and purposeful. Know what, where you're going, why you're going there, and while you're out, whatever you do touch, do not touch your face. I don't care that that eyebrow gets an itch every once in a while. I don't care that your mouth feels dry. Don't touch your face. Anything you touch, any surface, could have the virus on it from whoever touched it last. And if you touch your face, that's how you get infected. Through the eyes, the nose, the mouth. And anytime you go out of the house, I don't care for what reason, you go to dump the trash, you're touching that trash bin. You don't know who touched it right before you got there. Wash your hands thoroughly anytime you have been in a public place. Okay. You run the risk of infecting 14 million people. Take this seriously. I'm going to run through my week with you. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. And you are listening to iHub Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Live from Palm Springs, she calls it as she sees it. Local talk that's moving the needle. Here's Anita Rufus on iHub Radio.
Okay, we are back. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. You're listening to iHub Radio. I am here live from 10 to noon on Sundays. So I said I was going to take you through my week, and here's what made me think about that. The week before was the week that I turned in my article to CV Independent, which is something I do a couple times a month. For almost 7 years, I've been running articles called Know Your Neighbors. And this time, CV Independent, which, by the way, is a weekly independent newspaper here in the Coachella Valley, that is in the nationwide network of independent newspapers, some very large, LA Weekly, Village Voice, and some small like CV Independent. But these are independent news sources that make a difference in the local community. The problem is these small papers are in fact really suffering right now because they depend on local small business advertisers. You know, CV Independent is totally focused on the Coachella Valley. Whether it's arts and entertainment or politics or opinion or know your neighbors or whatever. Anyway, so last week, the editor, Jimmy Bagel, asked me, since they were going to devote the whole issue to the impact of the coronavirus in the Coachella Valley. And he said, instead of doing my normal profile article about some individual, knowing your neighbors, that he would be interested in having me write a personal piece. Let me be the neighbor that we're talking about in this issue. And so I did that, and that went up online. And it was really amazing, the responses that I got. But having gone through that article, which kind of cataloged week before last, in other words, last week, not the week we're just finishing, from Monday through Saturday of that week, and how the virus had affected me. I did not go into town for the memorial service for a dear friend because most of the people were going to be flying in from out of town, and I decided it probably wasn't a good idea to go to a gathering, you know, with a bunch of people who had just gotten off airplanes. So I bugged out on going to my friend's memorial service. And my boyfriend and I and two other couples had bought tickets for a local show at Cal State. And we hassled back and forth all that week about, you know, should we go? Should we cancel? Because we just weren't sure at that point what the status of staying at home meant. Tried to get a refund, but they were non-refundable tickets. Although I have to say, the guy I spoke to on the phone from the ticket broker was really very helpful. But he said, you know, the only way they're going to cancel that show is if we get a declaration of a national emergency. Well, for the first time in over 3 years, something came out of the White House, out of the mouth of the president, that I was actually happy about. Because that Friday, the president did declare a national emergency. And by Friday night, we had gotten confirmation that our ticket purchase had been refunded. So that was good news, and we ended up not going to the theater, obviously, because of that. Anyway, that was kind of, I had a week that was just full of stuff. I was supposed to go into LA and audition for a game show. I blew that off. I didn't want to go be around a bunch of people I didn't know in a space that I couldn't control. That's how bad it was last week. This week has become fairly dire, and we are all aware of how bombarded we feel by the news. And you know, there's a lot of people who don't handle not being able to have their normal routine, don't handle that well. There are a lot of people who like the fact that they get out of the house and they go to work and they sit at that desk and they have a certain amount of authority or recognition that they don't get at home. And that's, for them, that's how they spend their days, and they like it. There are people who do not handle frustration well. People who do not have money coming in right now and are forced to stay home and who have short fuses, and the concern about things like domestic violence are very serious. Because when you have people who are prone to that kind of behavior, when they are frustrated or upset or feeling disempowered, man, does that fit what's going on right now. So this past Monday, after I was here last Sunday, this past Monday, the Surgeon General said that the number of cases in the United States had reached the level that Italy had recorded 2 weeks prior. And Italy now has the highest number of cases in Europe. And the fact that they did not shut down the whole country, they just shut down the northern region where most of the cases were. Hey, 2 weeks ago, there were 1,700 cases in Italy. And by this past Monday, they were estimating over 25,000 cases. This is not a joke. Anyway, I'm going to continue taking you through my week up to and including facts that I just got this morning that'll totally be up to date.
News, weather, and a couple of dozen loudmouths. This is iHub Radio. She calls it as she sees it. Now, here's Anita Rufus.
So I want to just acknowledge there is a total sense of unreality right now. Seriously. Watching all of this, it's hard not to believe that you're watching some weird movie or some unreality that's being foisted upon all of us to test us. And you know what? Even if that's true, I want to make sure we pass the test. It just doesn't feel real. But let me tell you, when this many people are dying around the world, and when this is something uncontrolled at this point, where we are all in this together and have to work together to deal with it, I'm just telling you, this is real. It feels unreal. It seems unreal. Seeing young people on the beach in Florida right now seems unreal. I saw one total a-hole this morning who must have been about 19 who was out there partying on the beach in Florida for spring break. And the reporter said, aren't you concerned about the virus? And this stupid young kid said, no, I'm not concerned. If I get it, so I get it. Hey, it's spring break, man. His parents ought to be the ones that we go after. So last Monday, talking about this past week, this past Monday, the Department of Health and Human Services was hacked. They had a big cyber attack last Sunday night, which in fact prompted a response from the National Security Council. And evidently, there were hacking incidents aimed at slowing down the Health and Human Services computer systems. Now, the cyber attack meant that the National Security Council at the White House pushed out an overnight tweet that false information was circulating about the coronavirus. And look, there's a lot of false information out there. I fell for one last week that said if you could hold your breath for 10 seconds, then you probably didn't have a compromised lung. Forget that. That's just not true. But meanwhile, as of last Monday, they were putting out this false message that there was, in fact, a nationwide quarantine. Now, there are quarantines in various states or cities, but there was not a national quarantine. There was no national lockdown. And the kinds of other false information out there that are getting passed around by people, no, drinking hot water doesn't make this wash away. Hello? Drinking water is good for you. I don't care whether it's hot or cold. But drinking a cup of hot water every however many minutes does not wash away the virus. Holding your breath for 10 seconds doesn't do it. However, one of the symptoms of the virus, in addition to fever and perhaps a persistent cough, is that when you breathe, your chest feels tight. That's what they mean by shortness of breath. that you can't take a full inhale without your chest feeling like somebody's got a belt around it. Now, governors and mayors around the country have closed restaurants and bars and schools. Illinois, Ohio, Massachusetts, Washington State, New York City, L.A., bars and restaurants closed. Palm Springs, the bars and restaurants are mostly closed except for doing takeout. You can still order food. As of now, and this is from a federal medical source, as of now, there's no evidence that the virus is transmitted through food. So there are people who are concerned about going to get pickup, you know, at a local restaurant and taking it home or having food delivered because somebody had to make that food. There is no evidence as of now that the virus is transmitted through food. Now, this is one of those items that didn't really get reported, but when I read it, I thought, what? The Trump administration evidently was trying to persuade a German company that's working on a possible vaccine to move their work into the United States. And German officials were concerned that that meant that if they did develop a vaccine, it would be available first and, worst case, exclusively in the United States. So the Germans said, nah, I think we'll pass on that. And then the president was hyping this Google-developed website. This is back this past Monday. Supposedly, the Google-developed website was going to do triage for diagnosis and treatment nationwide. And it turned out that Google was blindsided when Trump said that publicly. You know, they've been holding these task force. The task force was appointed by the president. Vice President Mike Pence is heading it up. They're doing daily update briefings. Dr. Anthony Fauci is one of the key members of that. There are some really important key government officials who are on that task force. They're meeting nonstop. And when Vice President Pence comes forward to talk about whatever the meeting was that they just came out of that they're announcing to us, he sounds rational. He has some depth of knowledge about what was talked about. He can answer questions coherently. Now, they all, the minute they step up at the microphone, talk about the wonderful leadership that the president has provided, yada, yada, yada. Okay, fine. If that's what you got to do to make the president feel good so that you can do your job, what the hell? But at least Mike Pence and, for sure, Dr. Anthony Fauci and the woman whose name now escapes me, of course, I want to say Blix, but I know that's not right. They, though, are knowledgeable and they're helpful and they are candid and they are coherent. But the president keeps getting up there and trying to answer questions in a way that unfortunately makes it clear that he has no depth of understanding of what they're all talking about. It's like the president hears somebody say something and two or three words jump out as the ones that he latches onto and remembers, and he just keeps saying them over and over and over again. For example, when he was asked questions appropriately about the fact that we, the United States government, originally had some warning that this virus could turn into a pandemic all the way back in January and again in February. And the president during that whole time kept saying, oh, this is nothing. We've only got 15 cases. It's going to go away. And he kept saying, and we took the most decisive step when we shut down any incoming visitors from China, as if that was all that needed to be done, and wipe your hands of it, we're good. No real depth of understanding of what has happened since then and how long this has been going on. Remember I talked last week about the young guy who he and his brother or his good friend had gone out and bought over 17,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, and he had them all stacked in his garage. Well, the state has in Tennessee has begun a price gouging investigation, and because he came in for so much national scorn for what he had done, he donated all of those hand sanitizer bottles. Too little, too late, but hey. Now, while all of this is still going on, and I'm still back on last Monday, Israel had that election, which was the third election within a year, and there was no clear winner. So Benjamin Netanyahu and his rival, Benny Gantz, there was a narrow majority of lawmakers coming together for Benny Gantz, the guy who's opposing Netanyahu, and Gantz is going to be given the chance to form a government in Israel. Third election in a year and still no clear winner. And meanwhile, Netanyahu is still facing corruption charges in court. Now, I mentioned that I was going to give you some good news. Women and men, if you haven't discovered Tom's shoes, you should. You can always tell when somebody's wearing Tom's shoes because they look so damn comfortable, and they've got a small, square, easily read right on the back of the heel that says Tom's. And the reason I like Tom's shoes, not that they are sponsors of this show or this network, but they ought to be. The reason I like Tom's shoes is they're damn comfortable and they look good. And every time you buy a pair of Tom's shoes, they donate a pair of shoes to someone somewhere in the world who needs shoes. So I want to let you know that during this very difficult time where we're battling this whole virus thing, Tom's has put together a crisis text line. They're in partnership with another company that offers free confidential support to those in crisis via text messages. So Tom's wants you to know if you are feeling anxious or isolated, or if you need just to talk to somebody who can give you some support, text the word Tom's, T-O-M-S, to 741-741. And you can be connected with a crisis counselor 24/7. That's a great service to be offering. I don't care whether they're doing it because it makes them look good and might sell more shoes. It's a good service to be offering. The text number, 741-741. Twice in a row. 741-741. And text the word Tom's, and you may be able to get somebody to talk to who will get you through a difficult moment. Now, we've heard an awful lot about this whole thing about respirators and ventilators and all of the equipment that medical professionals need. And of course, last Monday, we heard the president say, "We'll be backing you, but try getting it yourselves." Well, now, as a matter of fact, we are starting to get some support from FEMA, from the Department of Defense. Corps of Engineers is going to be building some hospitals. It is true that the states and localities have the responsibility to handle the health needs of their constituents. But when a national emergency has been declared, the federal government has an important role to play, and the president needs to step up and realize that taking action, sure, it may blow back on him if it doesn't work, but not taking action is unconscionable. This is Anita Rufus, iHub Radio.
because you only think you know the truth. Striking blows against the corporate talk radio monolith in the Coachella Valley. iHub Radio. Participation encouraged, but not required. Here's Anita Rufus.
And again, I thank you so much for joining me live every Sunday from 10 to noon here on iHub Radio. You may remember that early last year, I interviewed Andrew Yang, not because I knew he was going to run for president or because he had already announced that he was running for president, but because he had written a book that I thought was terrific. I think it's called The War on Normal People. Great book. And Andrew Yang, we had a good interview, and then he went on to announce that he was running for president. And one of his biggest things was talking about the impact of modernization and technology on the labor market, and the fact that he wanted to give $1,000 a month to every American adult. And everybody thought, you know, that's crazy, we really can't afford it. However, he had really good arguments about the difference that would make in the economy. Well, why would you give it to rich people? Well, why not? Let's give it to everybody. Let's not pretend that we're going to make decisions about who deserves it and who doesn't. Well, what about that guy who's just going to sit around in the basement and do nothing? Well, I got to say, this week, that guy is a hero. Sitting around in your basement and doing nothing and not being involved with other people, that's the best way to stop the damn virus. Anyway, Andrew Yang must just be chortling somewhere in the background, because no less than Republican Senator Mitt Romney from Utah on Monday, this past Monday, outlined a list of proposals to address this virus, including giving all American adults $1,000 in response to the fallout from the spread of the disease. Now, he didn't mean every month, but if I were Andrew Yang, I would have been laughing my ass off. Romney's office did release a statement that said Congress took similar action during the 2001 and 2008 recessions. While expansions of paid leave, unemployment insurance, and SNAP benefits are crucial, the check will help fill the gap for Americans. Well, as you may know, subsequent to that, the House passed a bill that would, in fact, give some money back to individuals. The Senate is working on their version of it. It was announced as a $1,000 check right away and then a second $1,000 check in a couple months, by which time they hope that things will have returned to normal and people can go back to work. Well, now it seems like the Republicans were balking about the two checks and, okay, let's just give $1,200 one time. Well, but then, you know, let's base it on income. So if you didn't make much income last year, you don't get the full $1,200. You might get $600. That's some of what's going on. And hopefully today they will be voting on a second, at least $1 trillion stimulus package. President keeps saying that he wants to make sure it focuses on workers, but I'm not sure that's how it's going to end up. I will say the good news is that there's an awful lot of companies that are either hiring because they need more people, companies like Amazon, where their orders online have gone crazy because people don't want to go out. And there are companies that are voluntarily continuing to pay workers even though they have asked those workers not to come in, paying them, for example, 80% of their salary, which means that people will still be able to get food. Now, the thing about what's going on with this virus is, as I've said many times, there's stories that just get lost in the shuffle. And here's one such story from our own not far away city of Santa Ana. A woman in Santa Ana pleaded guilty to charges of posting Nazi propaganda on schools. Interestingly enough, she's not being charged with a hate incident, they said, because there's no proof she was targeting a specific person who is Jewish. So they're not going to charge her with a hate incident. And my reaction to reading that, aside from the fact that it's like, oh, please, my reaction to that was, it should be a hate crime against the whole community. It shouldn't have to be specifically targeted to one person of a particular religion. Posting Nazi propaganda should be considered a hate crime against the whole community. Now, there's been a lot of talk this past week, and even before that, even more before this past week, but even this past week, there's a small group of people who are saying we're overreacting to the virus. It's being hyped by the media. Well, it is 24/7 coverage, and that does have a tendency to, you know, make our eyes glaze over. And nobody wants to be seen as prioritizing profit over saving lives. But there is a group of political leaders, ethicists, ordinary Americans who are being described as contrarians because they're dismissing the idea that we need to do what is now being known as social distancing. They're concerned about how society's most marginalized groups may fare and the effect of government enforced curfews on democratic ideals. This includes college students who were ushered off college campuses, are complaining because now they got to study at home. And by the way, let's acknowledge not everybody in every part of this country has access to the internet. And a lot of young people are saying, well, hey, what do you mean isolate myself? I don't have to go to school. I can do classes when I feel like it online. And it's spring break time. I mean, come on. Plus, what about all the kids who have now been closed out of school whose only really good meals come when they're in school? So there are some legitimate reasons that people are saying we're overreacting by forcing parents to stay home and by keeping kids at home. And shutting down the chance for so many people to actually make a living. What are we doing? Just to stop a virus? We may be overreacting and causing more problems than we're fixing. And then you look at China's quarantine measures and realize they have finally got their percentages down to a manageable level. One would hope. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal, and you're listening to iHub Radio.